We're going to dig into some tips to help you get to retirement. Some are new and some have been around a long time. In both cases, the information is rock solid and could make a positive difference in your retirement.
Welcome in to Your Retirement with Sam Jennings.
Welcome to Your Retirement, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Chuck Caton for Dual Financial Strategies, and in studio once again this week is Sam Dual and Luke Van Obel. And remember, they've got offices in Green Bay, and Appleton, and wherever you're listening to us in the Fox Valley. We are happy to be at your service, and remember that toll-free number to reach them is 866-203-7486. And it's good to see you back, Sam. I know that we've got a lot of things to talk about here, including reminding people about the SECURE Act and the SECURE Act 2.0 that over the last 3 or 4 years since COVID prompted a lot of changes in retirement planning. So I think you and Luke are going to outline some of those in our first segment today. So let's talk about how it affected Roth accounts in defined contribution plans. What did the SECURE Act and SECURE Act 2.0 want us to remind our near retirees about?
So this is a little bit of a change. And defined contribution plan, that just means like your 401k. That's the title of that type of a plan. But basically what they did was they allow an employer to offer a Roth IRA inside of there that functions as an emergency savings account only. Now, many of you have 401ks, 403b plans. You have these company plans that have an option for you to put money into a Roth IRA. This is different. So you might want to check and see if your employer's plan allows for a Roth IRA that functions as an emergency savings account. It's a way for you to, you know, just put away money on the side inside of that plan. And then if you needed to access that, you can make 4 tax-free withdrawals per year from that, and you can contribute up to $2,500. So I know this is just it's a little bit different. It's a little puzzling, but it's just a Roth emergency. You can put up to $2,500 into it. An employer can match the contributions as well if they wish to. And then if you need to take money out for something and you want to do it from a tax-free perspective, you could do that 4 times in a calendar year.
All right. Now, Luke, we know that the president has, well, attempted on a couple of occasions to forgive student loans. Do people actually pay their student loans back today? But how does this affect retirement savings student loan payments here, the SECURE Act and SECURE Act 2.0?
Well, for those of you that have student loans and are actually making those payments, and you're working for a company that has an employer-sponsored plan, like a 401k, something like that, while you're making the loan payment, the employer can be making your match into the qualified retirement plan. So basically, if you're focusing on paying down the debt instead of maybe making the contribution because you're worried about the interest payments and so forth, you do not lose out on the matching contribution from the employer. Mm-hmm. Now, this is available for a wide variety of employer plans. So not just the 401k, but if you have a 403b, if you have a government 457 plan, if you've got simple IRAs, these would all apply. And so if you're making those student loan payments, don't miss out on the match that's available to you.
All right, we're talking about the tips that both Sam and Luke can give you on planning your retirement in light of the SECURE Act that was passed by Congress and the SECURE Act 2.0. So how does it affect 401k, Sam, and required minimum distributions?
Well, it's specifically to the Roth. So it used to be that if you had a Roth portion inside of your 401k, and you reached the age of 73 years old and you were still working, or you still had the money in the 401k, you had to start taking required minimum distributions on that Roth. Even though it's not taxable, it's nonsensical, actually. It always has been, and they changed that. Mm-hmm. They changed that so that if you have money in your Roth 401k account, you can choose when to withdraw it. You're not forced to start taking that money out at 73 any longer.
All right. So that's pretty simple. And I guess, Luke, when it comes to, I know when you turned 50, because I did this myself when I was working, I always did catch up contributions to my 401k at work. But now there's also a provision for people 60 to 63, isn't there?
There is. So starting January 1st of 25. So if you're listening to this in 24, does not apply yet. But January 1st of 2025 for workers age 60 to 63 years old, they're going to have an additional special catch-up contribution available to them that is the greater of $10,000 extra per year or 150% of the standard catch-up limit for that year. So currently in 2023, once you're over the age of 50, you can add an additional $7,500 into your, say, 401k account. Now, next year, you'll be able to do $10,000 or 150%. There is also a little minor change to the IRA accounts where we have a catch-up for traditional IRAs, Roth IRAs of $1,000 per year. That is now going to be adjusted by inflation to increase at hopefully more than $1,000 a year for those age 50 and older. So keep that in mind when you're making your contributions. As you get older, you can put more and more money in to your retirement accounts.
All right. So we've accounted for some of these tips with regard to the Secure Act and Secure Act 2.0. So let's shift gears now, Sam, and go to a few tried and true tips that have gone through the generations, and I guess it's philosophical with the fiduciaries like yourself and different people that you come in contact with, delaying Social Security. Where do you stand on that, and where should people stand on that? There's no cookie-cutter answer, I suppose.
No, there isn't one, and Social Security is one of those things that often we see it made emotionally, and you really shouldn't, folks. You also should not start figuring out when you're going to take your Social Security in a vacuum. What I mean by that is you need to be looking, what are all of the other assets that you have? What do you have in your 401ks? What do you have in your IRAs? What do you have available to you in guaranteed income streams? Before you just, you know, get all, you know, all scared and suspicious that Social Security is going to run out of money, make sure you're doing the calculations, and you really need to be sitting down with an advisor that knows and understands Social Security, that's been doing it for many, many years, to see when is best for you. And just one note, if you're using one of these online calculators, or if you're using a calculator that an advisor gives you, basically that's geared towards what we would call Social Security maximization, those are a joke. And they don't work. And the reason why they don't work, and the reason why they're a joke, is because there's one key piece of data that you cannot put into that program. It is impossible for you to have an optimized Social Security strategy, knowing exactly when to take it, because you don't know when you're going to die.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you could give us that piece of information, then we could say, yes, based upon that, the most optimal and efficient time to take Social Security would be this date and time. However, if you're using someone or somebody's trying to sell you on a Social Security maximization strategy, they're incorrect. They will always be incorrect because you don't have enough data or information there. Work with a real financial advisor that knows and understands Social Security as well as other assets.
Absolutely true. All right, Luke, what about another thing that could be confusing to a lot of our pre-retirees is sequence of return risk?
Yeah, first, what is sequence of return risk? This is, you know, this is the risk that a negative market return occurring early in retirement will have a bigger impact on your money than a negative return would have later on. So if we're talking about, you know, a 25% drop in the market, you know, within the first couple of years of retirement versus that 25% reduction in the market coming 15, 20 years down the road, much bigger impact when it happens right out of the gate. So ideally, no one would retire in a bear or down market. However, that isn't really possible. I mean, many of you are timing this. You've been working hard to reach a certain date. You have a goal of a certain date to leave. And so who knows? We don't know for sure when that next drop is going to come. So one or two strategies to think about are having like a multi-bucket strategy for your assets where you've got money with different purposes and different buckets, so to speak, that might be different accounts, that might be one account. And so the reason you have this strategy is that then you don't have to maybe pull as much from that volatile bucket If it's down early in retirement, you can pull it from some other places if you have those additional diversification pieces in place for your retirement assets.
Now, I know we only have a couple of minutes, Sam, on this segment, so let's combine a couple of things here. Why is it important to choose the right place to retire? And I imagine that goes along with accounting for inflation, because you may not want to live in places like New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles when you retire.
Yeah, I mean, it's just cost of living. What's it going to cost you to live where you're going to retire at? If you're saying, hey, we've lived in Wisconsin our entire life and we want to retire in Hawaii, well, you're probably going to need a little bit more money than you would otherwise, because it's not expensive. You know, it's not inexpensive to live there. And obviously, you have to look at inflation, but the two can go hand in hand for sure.
And absolutely, Luke, combining planning for healthcare costs. And it's not even a bad idea to want to work part time, even though you've retired from your primary profession.
Yeah, working, you know, and when you retire, a lot of people are basing that on what their healthcare costs are going to be, whether they have coverage through work. A lot of people don't. Exploring, you know, ACA plans, those can be reasonable. They're income-based, not asset-based. So that's something to have a discussion about, because you might be pleasantly surprised at what those premiums are. And yeah, working if you want to. You know, retirement doesn't have to mean that you have to quit work entirely. Part-time employment is an option. Part-time work in retirement can provide, you know, some satisfaction, some supplemental income, reduce the pressure on portfolios, things like that. But I think it's important to start with a discussion about, can you retire, you know, when you do step away from that full-time job? Because that's going to frame your mindset going into that part-time job. If you know that, hey, you can retire without part-time income, well, the part-time job you look for is going to be because you want to, and it's going to be something fun. So start with a proper plan. Start with a proper look at, are you positioned well to retire when you want to first?
And Sam, that leads into what you can do for our listeners, because you want to give them good financial and retirement advice, don't you?
Well, just giving them, helping you with tips, taking a glimpse into what you're doing with your retirement planning. It's a very complex thing, and retirement planning is 180 degrees polar opposite than this, you know, than the saving that you've been doing. So you need an advisor that understands retirement from one side to the other, upside down and backwards, and people that actually do it for a living every day. You know, there's an awful lot of folks out there today that are, you know, basically they want to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. And at Dual Financial Strategies, folks, we focus on retirement. That's it. We're not focusing on student loan debt. We're not focusing on 529 plans. We're not focusing on any of that stuff except for your retirement. Come and see us so we can do this right for you the first time.
866-203-7486. That is the phone number to reach Sam, Andy, or Luke at Dual Financial Strategies, 866-203-7486. What's coming up next, Sam?
With many older couples, one spouse typically manages the family finances while the other isn't as involved. If the spouse in charge of finances passes away or becomes unable to manage them, the surviving spouse often finds themselves afraid and in financial disarray. We'll outline some ways to avoid this scenario when we come back.
We are back here on Your Retirement for Dual Financial Strategies. My name's Chuck Caton. Happy to be with Sam Dool and Luke Van Abel in studio this week. And remember, they've got two offices to serve you in the Fox Valley. One in Green Bay, one in Appleton, for the best in independent. And that is a key, independent tutelage on your retirement. They're not going to just sell you something like certain brokers may. Because they are fiduciaries, and that's what it's all about. And I think that one of the more complex things, Sam, that we see in retirement planning is that though financial advisors do stress the importance of couples openly sharing financial responsibilities and, most importantly, information, it doesn't happen a lot of times. And maybe you can tap on your experience and tell our listeners a little bit about certain situations where you've got to be on the same page with your spouse if you're going to have a successful retirement. Achieving that level of transparency between spouses really necessitates a lot of effort and honest communication, doesn't it?
Well, it's all about talking about it. I mean, are we talking enough about money? about the money. So if one spouse is overseeing the checkbook or the day-to-day operation of the house, the other one may focus on the investing, the 401ks, the IRAs, the life insurance, and other long-term financial goals. That's an exact description of Andy and I's household. It's exactly the way it is here. Andy manages the day-to-day household finances. She manages the life insurance. She manages all of that sort of stuff for us, and she manages basically our life. I manage all of the financial aspects of the business and the 401k and the investing and all of that sort of stuff. So we have two very distinct roles, but we sit down and we talk about it, and we talk about where are we at? What are we doing? Why are we doing it this way? Why are we doing it another way? So it works out until it doesn't, right? That's why we tried to stay on the same page on this sort of stuff. But if you're basically working in a vacuum and one of you is making all of the decisions and the other one is just kind of, you know, not involved in it because you don't like it or whatever the case might be, just start with a simple conversation. Talk about what your shared goals are. What do you want to do? Do you want to travel? You want to give money to your family? What is it that you want? And then once you're working with us and once your plan is established, now that spouse needs to be involved as well. It has to be that you are involved in that plan, and any changes in your life are taken into account in that plan. Remember, folks, when a change happens in your life, we as your financial advisors don't necessarily know about that. So you've got to keep us involved in the conversation as well. And you need to make sure that you're understanding when we need to make adjustments, how are we going to make them? Why are we going to make them? Where are we going to make them? It's just communication.
Absolutely. And it's communication all the way around. You make a good point, Sam, because it's not only the communication between you and your spouse, but it's got to be with your financial advisor. So everybody knows what's going on, and even your children. I know in our situation, my wife really couldn't care less about the day to day. I mean, she's not like Andy where she pays the bills and does all that. She relies on me to do everything, but she is educated on what our situation is. And we have that common goal of what we want to do with our portfolio when we pass on. So it is very, very important. And another thing, Luke, that seems to be very important, and people better be on the same page when it comes to risk tolerance, right? Is it the same or similar? Because if it isn't, then you're going to have somebody wanting to go basically to Russian roulette and Las Vegas with their money, and other people want to just put it in CDs.
Yeah, we do find as we meet with married couples on a regular basis that there is a difference, though. One of you will have a greater tolerance for risk. One of you oftentimes will be much more conservative in nature. And so this can pose a big challenge for couples. It also can pose a challenge when one spouse might feel pressured into assuming more risk to align with the other partner's needs. But one potential solution here would be to allocate, you know, sufficient funds to a more conservative portfolio or a bucket of money that would be in place to meet your needs, your income needs, because moving into retirement is less about your net worth. It's more about the income that you're generating on a monthly basis now that that work paycheck or work paychecks potentially has gone away. So if we can secure some income for you every single month, well, now you've got the flexibility with a portion of the other funds to maybe reach for a little bit more opportunity. But another thing that I encourage all the families that come in and sit down with me, we go through a risk questionnaire. We have discussions about your risk. We have discussions about your comfort level. But when I have you complete a risk questionnaire that only takes a few minutes, I want the husband to complete one separately, and I want the wife to complete one separately, because I think it's important to have an accurate picture of each of your appetites for risk going into an allocation so that everybody's needs are being met and we're not assuming the risk of the lower or the higher person and sacrificing what could be tremendous return or potential protection for the next 20 to 30 years.
We're talking with Sam Dula and Luke Van Abel about, you, ladies and gentlemen, are you on the same page with your spouse when it comes to your retirement planning and your portfolio, what you're going to do with your money? Are you going to send it to the kids? Are you going to shut them out? Are you going to gamble it away or go into a risky investment or not? And so also, Sam, what's the backup plan if the financial steward passes away or develops some debilitating injury or illness like dementia? Because if you're not prepared with this communication thing, it's only going to get worse when you're the sole decision maker and if you're not prepared for it.
Well, and I can't tell you, Chuck, how many times over the last 24 years that I've had people come into my office, and the sole reason that they were there was because one of the people took care of all of the finances, they took care of all of the retirement planning, the other one was not actively involved in it, and they said, I need you in my corner, Sam, in case something happens to me so that my spouse is taken care of. I mean, we have had that conversation countless different times, and it can be tricky how you go about this. Sometimes people would say, well, what if I just have like my oldest child do that? Well, what about the other two children that now feel like they're being shut out? Or what if the oldest child is making decisions and the other two children don't agree with that? Now you have a problem. You need an advisor that has your back, that's in your corner, and then know how all of that fits together, and bring the children into that scenario so that they know how everything fits together. Have them meet with us so that when the time comes, it won't be awkward. But develop that good advisory relationship. Both spouses need to be involved in choosing and working with that professional. And I will tell you, ladies or gentlemen, and a lot of times I'm not being sexist, but this ends up being something where the man has taken care of things for many years. The woman has not. She's raised the family. She's done all of the hard work. She needs to make the decision on who the financial advisor is going to be. The spouse that's not involved every day needs to be very actively involved in making that choice, because the reason we're doing this to begin with is so that if you, the primary decision maker, are no longer able to do this, we have a backup plan. So the person that's not involved needs to make that final decision on who's going to have their back.
And as a follow-up, Luke, are you keeping good financial records? Because that's part of it, having it on paper and knowing what's going on in case there is that debilitation of one of your spouses.
Yeah, in particular, to piggyback off of what Sam was just saying, where the primary spouse that's taking care of the finances passes away, having really good financial records is critical for that other spouse. So that, you know, if you have, you know, a thing that you could have in place is like a just-in-case folder. So, you know, things like the assets that you have and the title on those assets, this should all be in one place. You know, names, contact details for the financial advisor, for the estate planner, for, you know, for the will, the trust, the power of attorney, for the tax person. Heaven forbid both a husband and a wife pass away. You know, your children, again, to echo Sam's message, they should be brought into this. They should know where that just in case folder is. Maybe it's in the safe, maybe it's somewhere else. So they know where all that information is, so they can make one call or two calls to the appropriate people that can then help them navigate the decisions that are going to come in an already emotional time when somebody has passed away, and ensure that these assets are positioned well for the spouse that's left or for the next generation and whatever their goals might be.
Absolutely. And it can be very complex in this day and age, because I know that when my father passed away some 30 years ago, my mom had an easier time. I helped her through it but it was a simple set of investments that they had. They did not have a very complex portfolio for retirement, but I can't say the same thing for me. And I'm sure our listeners have the same situation. You must have a complex situation in this day and age. And if you do, you've got to be able to sort things out. And here's one thing, Sam, very quickly before we break. I didn't know this. Of all the experiences, I guess I never thought about this, about credit cards. If your name's on a credit card and your spouse's isn't, and you pass away, that credit card is now null and void, right?
It's locked out. You're absolutely locked out of it.
Chuck, if the spouse is listed on there, right? If both the husband and wife are listed on there?
No, if the wife doesn't have the listing, right, then that credit card gets knocked out. She can't use it, or he can't use it.
Yeah.
If they're not shown as an account owner.
Yep.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
So it has to be a joint account.
Right.
And this happens all of the time. We recently had this scenario where that exact scenario happened, where the husband passed and the wife was shown as an authorized user on the card, but she was not primary on the card and she was not joint on the card.
Yeah.
So it's really, and it's no different, folks, than a checking account. Right. Like if you have your checking account and your spouse has their checking account, well, it doesn't matter that you're a spouse. We, you know, common law in the state of Wisconsin, but credit cards and things like that do not recognize that. So make sure that you have access to credit if something would happen.
Absolutely true. And so this is where Dual Financial Strategies can help with all these little things that are going on with their 24 years of experience. Right, Sam?
These are just things that we see every day, Chuck, and it's things that people don't think about. And it's all of the things that the other advisors forget to do. But because we focus on retirement, because it's all we do, we see this stuff all the time. We know exactly what to do. We know exactly how to counsel you. We've seen it, we've done it, and we've heard it before. So allow our more than two decades of experience with many, many of you getting you successfully to and through retirement. Let our experience help you live the retirement you deserve.
All right, and it's easy to do that, to make that no cost, no obligation. Sit down with them. And of course, we can't forget Andy, who is out of studio today. Andy Schooler, Sam Duell, Luke Van Abel at your service at Duell Financial Strategies by calling 866-203-7486. Again, you'll get a retirement lifestyle review that you're looking for at either the Green Bay office or the Appleton office. They are there to accommodate you at 866-203-7486. What's coming up after the break, Sam?
You know you're saving for retirement, but do you really know what's going on behind the scenes with your money? Are financial termites eating away at your hard-earned savings? When we come back, we'll outline several strategies that can help you stretch those retirement dollars.
We are back here for Duell Financial Strategies. Chuck Caton with Sam Duell and Luke Van Abel as Andy Schooler's on assignment this week for Your Retirement. That's the name of the program. 866-203-7486 is the phone number to reach Sam, Andy, or Luke so that you can have that retirement lifestyle review. If you're 4, 5, 6 years away from retirement, or you're looking for a second opinion from a fiduciary firm that has you as the primary goal and the primary recipient of their services without being sold a product. And you're probably not aware in a lot of cases that saving for retirement's a big job. We're living longer, and that means we have to save even more. But how we manage that savings and how we stretch our dollars to make sure we don't run out of money is paramount to success. And one of the things that can eat at you, Sam, at our listeners, at any investment, is not only the state of Wisconsin and our great country tax-wise, but it's fees. So let's talk about these. I don't understand any of these. What's an expense ratio? What are these mutual fund transaction fees? What are management fees? It's almost like my phone bill from AT&T. They added $15 to my just in fees and service fees in last month's phone bill. I am upset.
Well, you have to understand fees in so far as your retirement plan is concerned. First of all, let's start with your 401k, because many people are under the false, you know, thought that a 401k is free, that it doesn't cost you anything. It does, folks. There are fees. And we have seen examples with 401ks where the fees inside of it that you don't see were 2% and more. The national average, I believe right now, Luke, if I recall, is around 2% or 2+%, the national average fees inside of a 401k. And there's so many different ways these fees can be charged. There's so many different ways that they can be paid for. If you want to know what the fees are in your 401k at work, Google it. There's a thing called a Form 5500 you can go to, and you can ask your employer for that. But just ask them for the fee disclosure form, and it will list all of those. So the 401k is costing you money. Don't be fooled into thinking it's not. The second thing is you get outside of the 401k. Well, the predominant investment that most people have is mutual funds. That's what most of you have. And all of those have what they call an expense ratio inside of them. And the expense ratio is simply the cost that it's incurring to run that fund every day. What is the expense ratio? These can be very, very expensive, and you have to understand what they are because you won't get a bill for them. What are transaction fees? Brokers charge to buy and sell mutual funds. It could be called a transaction fee. It could be called a sales fee. It could be called a sales load. It could be a commission, but there's multiple different ones. I just examined a statement for some folks that came in and visited with me the other day, and they were with U.S. Bank. And literally, the statement as I was reading it, Chuck, the first 2.5 pages of tiny, tiny print was almost exclusively fee disclosures.
Wow.
There was just, there was disclosure after disclosure after disclosure, revenue sharing, variable annuity revenue sharing, mutual fund revenue sharing. And, you know, I'm listing a major bank here, but it doesn't make any difference. The brokers do it. The, you know, the one that you go to in the strip mall, all of those types of folks, they all have this type of stuff. And you need to understand it because it
you should explain what revenue sharing is.
Yeah. Revenue sharing. That's that one. That's a fun one. Revenue sharing is something that the vast majority of them do.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to give you a revenue sharing agreement disclosure. I find that many folks have never seen one of these, but revenue sharing is basically under the table money. I'll give you a good example of it. Edward Jones. Edward Jones has probably one of the most lucrative revenue sharing agreements of any brokerage firm that there is. Ask your Edward Jones person for it. Their biggest revenue sharing partner, the last time I checked, was American Funds.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, they make tens of millions of dollars in additional income every year by having American Funds be their favored mutual fund. So they have an agreement that says, hey, American Funds says to Edward Jones, if you will make us your preferred mutual fund provider, if you will give us access to your agents, if you will do all of these different things, we'll give you an extra commission. We'll pay you an extra percentage above and beyond what our usual and customary is. So basically, it's graft, but they use a really nice fluffy word called revenue sharing. A fiduciary advisor, a fee-based advisor, people like Dual Financial Strategies, we do not have revenue sharing agreements. We will not participate in revenue sharing agreements. We're very transparent. But hey, ask your broker for their revenue sharing agreement. And then when you happen to notice that all of the mutual funds that you own just happen to be within the context of their biggest revenue sharing partner, you might want to ask yourself, do I own all of these American Mutual funds because they were the absolute best choice for me?
Or
did that happen to be where the most money was going to be made on the day that they were sold to?
Yeah, there you go.
Ask questions.
Absolutely. And also build a retirement plan. We're giving tips here on what you should be thinking about. We just talked about ratios, the fees that are involved. But whenever you're in that retirement process, be you 5 to 10 years away, it never hurts to get an updated strategy. You might even change your mind on it, right, Luke? I mean, you look 5, 10 years ahead in your retirement, but it always is good to review, right?
Yeah, we talk about the retirement red zone a lot. 3 to 5 years out from retirement, this is a great time to sit down with somebody. You know, because many people underestimate how much they should store away for retirement so that they can live comfortably. You'll need to account for your everyday bills, you know, increasing cost of healthcare. We know that the vast majority of you out there right now while you're working do not have a budget, or many of you may not even know like really what it costs you to live every single month. You know that you're spending less than what you make, hopefully. But now is the time when you're getting into that retirement red zone where you have to have a clear vision. You have to have a clear understanding of what it's costing you to live now and what is it going to cost you to live in retirement. Now, you're not going to be able to get that down to the penny, but you've got to start getting an idea of what that's going to cost, especially if you want to know how long that money's going to last. This is like retirement planning 101. You've got to have a grasp on that number. Also, part of having a clear vision for retirement is, what is your retirement going to look like? Are you going to take some vacations around the world? Are you going to be playing golf? Are you going to be volunteering? Understand what the purpose is for your retirement. And then, of course, there might be a cost associated with that. Volunteering, not so much, but some of those other things, you want to factor that into what is your lifestyle going to cost so that we can determine how long is this money going to last? Have you saved enough? Will you run out too soon? All those things that are looming in the back of your mind can be addressed when we start to formulate a plan.
And when you're trying to save, Sam, managing debt is crucial.
Well, you know, every dollar that you owe, that's another dollar you can't spend, okay? And if you're in debt over your head, it's almost impossible to catch up. Pay off your debts, folks. Don't be carrying credit card balances. Credit card balances, I mean, they're cancer. They're horrible. I mean, you're sitting out there, you're paying these annualized yields from 18 to 28% on these credit cards. Get rid of those things. Go on a debt reduction plan. Take the highest interest account that you have, make the biggest, most aggressive payments to that. Get that thing paid down and then just sequentially go through them one after the other, after the other, after the other. Because if you are spending $500 a month to pay off debts or to service debts when you're in retirement, that's a huge number. You got to get that debt under control.
Absolutely. And Luke, you touched on this before, creating an income stream and also maybe increasing your contributions, your savings by 1% a year. That could do wonders, even though it doesn't sound like much.
Yeah, creating guaranteed income is so important. You know, there's been all sorts of studies on this, but many retirees, most retirees that have guaranteed income, whether it's from an annuity, whether it's from a pension, they're found to be happier than those that don't have that. And it kind of makes sense. I mean, if you know that you're just going to have mailbox money coming in every single month, you're not wondering where your next paycheck's coming from. You're not wondering, are you going to be able to pay the bills next month or not? So exploring having guaranteed income streams, like Social Security, like pensions, but that are set up on your own. They're kind of like personal pensions with other retirement assets that you have. Yeah, and increase your contribution. Maybe it's just, you know, 1% a year. Maybe you got that pay raise at work. Instead of, you know, spending all of that, maybe you bump it up by what your pay raise was or half of what your pay raise was. Now you're making additional headway towards your retirement goal. One step at a time.
And as we wrap this segment up, Sam, know how to work your taxes, because that takes a bite out of your portfolio as well. And also, if you're still working, remember, consider catch-up contributions, because even with 2.0 coming up in 2025 for people 60 to 63, you can do this starting at the age of 50.
When you move into retirement, taxes are one of the single largest monetary obligations that you're going to have. You've saved all of this money in pre-retirement accounts, and the tax man knows that, and they're coming for it. You can manage your taxes. You can work your taxes. But this, unfortunately, this is the number one most overlooked portion of retirement planning by financial advisors that there is. I ask this question all the time in our classes. I ask this question to people all the time when they come in. And the common answer that everybody tells me they get is they'll say, hey, what order should I withdraw my money from my retirement accounts? When should I pull this out? What should I withhold? And the common answer is always, oh, you need to go see your tax preparer for that. It's the number one most overlooked item that there is in retirement planning, and it shouldn't be that way. Your financial advisor should be able to help you work your taxes. They should understand your tax situation, and they should be able to help you get to where you need to be. Because folks, if you are missing the tax planning portion of this, you are leaving thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars under the government's control. And if you don't have a plan for it, I promise you they do.
And I can tell you one thing right now, ladies and gentlemen, the dual financial strategies can help you navigate all of this that we're talking about with a retirement lifestyle review, which includes mitigating taxes in retirement. So give them a call at 866-203-7486. That's what you need to do to get that no cost, no obligation sit down. And hey, dare I tell you that there will be a premium. Sam, you're in that second or third printing now of Purpose Determines Placement, and you're ready to give a book to our listeners, I'm sure, complimentary when they come in to see you, right?
So yeah, third printing right now.
Oh, wonderful.
The book's doing well. Everything is doing well. We just need to see you so that we can help you get that retirement organized the way that it should be.
All right, so it's Green Bay or Appleton. Those are the offices, Dual Financial Strategies. And once again, that number to call right now is 866-203-7486. Hold on, the program's not over. Your favorite segment's coming up, Sam.
It is not over yet. You have questions and we have answers. When we return, we're answering questions from you, the listeners. Don't go anywhere.
We are back here on Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, sitting in with Sam Doole and Luke Van Abel this week for Doole Financial Strategies. With almost a quarter of a century of dealing with your retirement as fiduciaries, which means you come first in terms of retirement planning. So if you're in that retirement red zone, maybe 5 to 7 years ready to retire, Retire with a lot of confidence with the Retirement Lifestyle Review that can be provided for you at no cost, no obligation by Sam, Andy, or Luke at Dual Financial Strategies. And the way you can do that very quickly, again, is by calling 866-203-7486. All right, we've got five questions coming up. So Sam and Luke, you both are ready to go, right?
Yes, we are.
Ready to go.
All righty, we'll go to Appleton first, and Saul is there. Sam, he wants to know, is there a good rule of thumb of how much my IRA should be invested in safe investments at the age of 60, or is it just a matter of personal preference?
Well, Saul, I guess, I mean, the first question would be, what's your definition of a safe investment? Some people would say that one thing is safe, and other people would look at the polar opposite end of the spectrum and say that's safe. But it's a matter of planning is what it is, Saul. It's a matter of taking risk analysis, looking at exactly who you are, from a risk capacity, from a risk tolerance perspective, determining that first, using our program called Riskalyze to do that. It's very comprehensive. And then identifying what asset classes fit within that risk number. So in other words, a Riskalyze number, you could be from 1 to 99. Let's say that you're a 40. Okay, now we got to determine what sort of a portfolio fits a person that's 40. But remember, Saul, there's more than two or three or four ways to get to the number 40. Because I could have one set of asset classes that was a 60. I could have another set of asset classes that was a 20. And the combined blended average of that is going to be a 40. So it's not as simple as the old misguided rule of 100. Actually, I would probably advise, Saul, if you have anybody that mentions the rule of 100 to you or suggests that you use that, you should probably run, not walk, away from that person. Because the rule of 100 was fine 50 years ago when it was invented. The rule of 100 has been so outdated for so long now, but surprisingly, I still see people and brokers that use it. And it is absolutely mystifying to me how in today's world of volatility and the complexities that we live in, that somebody would honestly believe that they could subtract your age from 100 and tell you how much money to have in one asset class and how much money to have in another. It's a pipe dream, and it's a joke, and it doesn't work. So get a good Riskalyze analysis done. Understand exactly who you are, Saul, exactly what we're trying to achieve, and then let's plan towards you personally rather than some arbitrary number that comes from subtracting your age from 100.
Absolutely, and a very super and succinct answer from Sam Duell. All right, remember that number is 866-203-7486. For the best in, financial advice, retirement advice from Dual Financial Strategies. All right, in Green Bay, Randy's here for you, Luke, and he says, I'm the guy who never opens his investment account statements because I'm really too scared to look and because I really don't know what I'm looking at anyway. So how do you help a guy like me?
Yeah, well, I guess the first question for you, Randy, would be, why are you not looking? You know, are you feeling like the gains are too small? Or maybe it's because the losses are too big. But for those that are constantly worried about statements, there's a couple things that you should be looking out for. You may not own the right types of investments for you. They may carry quite a bit more risk than what you're comfortable with. And now's the time to take another look at your risk tolerance level. So Sam was talking about Riskalyze. That's the risk survey, the risk questionnaire that we use. I think this is a foundational, absolutely great starting place. Most of the families that come in to sit with us, what they're really curious to see, and nobody has ever showed them before, is what is their risk number now? So Sam mentioned a number between 1 and 99. And what is the risk number associated with the holdings that they have between all of their 401ks, all of their IRAs, all of their investment accounts? Would that be a helpful number and two numbers to compare, Randy? We call this like a financial checkup. You go to the doctor, they take your vital signs. We have a Riskalyze analysis to show you what's your risk appetite, what's your risk number now. And from there, you can determine whether maybe you're positioned right. And with the help of financial advisors that focus on retirement, we might be able to help you get that position much better for you and your appetite for risk.
All right. Sam Florence from Nina wants to know, what do I do after opening a Roth IRA? And should I have a financial advisor? I guess this is one of those things that you probably could do it yourself, but certainly wouldn't be the desired way to do it.
Well, obviously you've opened that Roth IRA. You need to put the money into something that's going to be your investment, whether that's CDs or money market accounts or stocks or whatever the case might be. If you're going to go into the stock market, the biggest question, Florence, is do you enjoy making decisions? Do you enjoy researching companies? Do you enjoy researching positions? And do you enjoy watching accounts for when you need to do rebalances and reallocations? That's the biggest thing. I think if you're just running beginning balances in Roth IRAs, you probably don't need a financial advisor for that. You should be able to just choose like a really good all-world stock or exchange-traded fund and maybe blend it with an all-world bond exchange-traded fund. Just do some blending like that. But you don't necessarily need a financial advisor for all of those sorts of things. I would just say, what is your comfort zone and how comfortable are you with trying to invest your own monies?
All right, let's go to Rosemary in DePere now. Luke, Rosemary wants to know, she just found out that her ex-husband's claiming half of her Social Security. She says, I know this doesn't directly affect me per se, but could Social Security stay afloat with a policy like this? She's looking out for the government, I guess.
Yes, she is. Hi, Rosemary. You're absolutely right. You know, whether your ex-husband's drawing off of your record or not, it has no bearing on your payment going forward, nor would it would for anybody else. From solvency of Social Security, the funds in trust, the trust fund for Social Security, we know that they are not full. they're running short. And part of the reason is that Social Security is a pay-as-you-go system. So those of us that are working right now are paying for the workers that are taking Social Security benefits. And we know today that 2.6 workers are there for every one Social Security recipient, which is some of the lowest that we've seen, and that number is going to only continue to go down. So you've probably seen statistics like, well, in 2034, they're only going to be able to cover 80% of the current payments that are going out. However, there's a bunch of changes that have already been happening with Social Security over the years and will likely continue going forward to create that solvency to bolster those numbers, one being payroll taxes. So right now, the first $168,600 that an individual makes is taxable. If they make more than that, that additional amount is not taxable. We've seen that grow substantially every single year. Would expect that going forward. Another big change is that they've changed the full retirement age. So when Social Security was first introduced, you might remember that Medicare and your full retirement benefit was actually the same age at 65. Now, for most of you born after 1960, your full retirement age is 67. So they will likely push that back over time. Social Security ideally is not one of the only sources or primary sources of retirement income. So discuss other ways that you can have income flowing to you. You can give us a call to do that. We'd be glad to help. At the end of the day, I don't think for somebody nearing retirement right now that they have to worry about huge changes to Social Security, because the stats are alarming on the number of people that all they have for retirement income is their Social Security paycheck.
All right, 866-203-7486 is that number that Luke's referred to. And our final question comes from Edward in Greenville, Sam. He says he's going to turn 70 later this year, and then he plans to collect his Social Security. So as he's still working as a self-employed individual, will my income impact the calculation of my benefit?
No, it isn't going to, Edward, because of the way that Social Security benefits are calculated and the length of time that they're spread over. You continuing to work up to age 70, you know, it's not going to have a huge impact on it. As a matter of fact, there's a maximum amount that you can draw from Social Security at any given point in time, regardless of what your income towards it have been. So, Social Security is a very specific formula that they go off of. But the best thing to do is just to go to the website. You can go to www.ssa.gov/myaccount. You can set up an account online there. You can look at exactly what your benefits are going to be. You can sign up for Social Security there. You can check your history on there. So that's where I would start at. But no, working until age 70, Edward, is not going to have a significant impact on the amount of benefits that you're going to receive from Social Security. But we do encourage everybody to use that website. It's very, very handy.
And what's also handy is, Sam, your expertise and what you can do for our listeners.
You know, all we're trying to do is just to give you folks some insight into what you need to do. It's not just one focus. It's not like we're just focusing on trying to get you to buy something. It doesn't have to be. We need to be talking about all of the different aspects that's going to make your retirement specific to you. Estate management, healthcare, taxes, the list goes on and on and on. But you need to be reviewing your retirement, your strategies, your hopes and goals and dreams, not the hopes and goals and dreams of the person that you're working with, not your neighbor, not the person that you're working with at work. No, it's all about you. So let's sit down. Let's do a retirement lifestyle review. Let's make it specific and special to you. And let's just see where you're at and then design and build the retirement of your dreams.
Absolutely. And it's easy to do that in either the Green Bay or Appleton office. And you can make that no cost, no obligation sit down appointment with Sam, Andy, or Luke by calling 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. It's very simple. It's a toll-free number. Don't procrastinate. Do it now and get that wonderful retirement lifestyle review that is custom-made for you, because that's what this show's all about, right, Sam? It's all about your retirement individually. Your final thoughts.
Your Retirement TV, Your Retirement Radio. Catch us on the weekends and be here same time, same place next week.
Investment advisory services offered through Dual Financial Strategies, LLC, a Wisconsin registered investment advisor. Dual Financial Strategies does not provide legal or tax advice. Investment advisor representatives of Dual Financial Strategies may only conduct business with residents of the states and jurisdictions in which they are properly registered. Insurance and annuity products are sold through Dual Financial Strategies.